Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Today's episode, I'm going to be talking about what to eat when you have food allergies. I received a question from a podcast listener about her son. He's allergic to milk, eggs, wheat, potato, pineapple, apple, hazelnut, banana, peanut, and then he's got some environmental allergies on top of that, dust mites, birch, elm, oak, ragweed. Wow, that's a lot of stuff to be allergic to, especially for a little guy. And I completely understand why a parent would be frustrated with this situation. It's a common thing that happens, and I hear it a lot in my office. What do I eat? How do I go about eating? What do we even do? So you're in luck. Today I'm going to be talking all about how to manage food sensitivities and what you need to do in terms of the four main steps in getting yourself through the process. First, we're going to talk about how to sub out the foods that you are sensitive to, ways around it, workarounds, basically. And then we're going to talk about websites for recipes. Then we're going to talk about brands that you can trust by learning how to read labels. And then we're going to talk about a food journal, because I think it's key to know what works and what doesn't. We have busy lives. We forget what happens from day to day. And it's one of the most important things that I've found in my life to track what I eat. I've done it for years. I've used MyFitnessPal. I've switched over to different apps over the years, and I make notes and just really detailed of what I eat and how I feel every single day. And I've got some pretty cool information over time, and I think it's really important. So we're going to go through those things. But let's first talk about this patient that came across on my podcast. I don't know this individual. It's a random question from a podcast listener, but I love it. So those of you out there who are listening and have questions, send me questions. I will answer them on the podcast. And in fact, I push them to the front because I think it's so important to get questions answered. And in this case, food. Food's important. We have to nourish ourselves. And when there's food sensitivity, I think it's like the biggest issue that comes up in my office is, oh my God, what do I eat? So in terms of this particular kiddo, there's a couple of different patterns that I found with the food that this guy is sensitive to. One in particular is because banana and apple showed up in addition to potato as a sensitivity. Those are foods or fruits in particular that are high in latex, which sounds kind of strange, but it might be also worth it to try to reduce latex or keep latex out of this kiddo's life, just in case that also might be an issue. The other big thing that came to mind when looking at the sensitivities of this kiddo is a condition called eosinophilic esophagitis. Now, I've seen this in my office a couple times, and I have a patient whose son has it pretty significantly, and we've talked about him, and so I'm quite familiar with this condition. And eosinophilic esophagitis is a chronic allergic inflammatory issue of the esophagus. And so this is a tube connecting the mouth to the stomach, and it's suspected to be secondary to an immune system response to specific foods, those foods being milk, eggs, wheat, soy, peanuts, tree nuts, and shellfish. And this kiddo here has some of those foods. So anyway, just thought I would mention that. Now, if anyone listening to this podcast is curious if their kiddo has this, symptoms are acid reflux types of symptoms, difficulty swallowing, food getting stuck in the throat, nausea and vomiting, failure to thrive, meaning not growing and developing as they should, abdominal pain, chest pain, really refusing to eat, and difficulty sleeping. So if any of these symptoms sound familiar to you or you're resonating with this, go to my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com and go to my link on eosinophilic esophagitis. Just wanted to make that note before we dive into this podcast. All right. So first things first, when we have an allergy to certain foods, we've got to find the substitutions in the recipes that you normally make. Or if you're panicking and say you're not the best chef, you're not the greatest in the kitchen, and you rely a lot on convenience foods, then we've got to get you cooking. Because ultimately, with food sensitivities, eating out is difficult. Convenience foods are going to be difficult. There's no sugarcoating on it. And honestly, the reason that a lot of us get into this situation with food sensitivities in the first place is that our systems are sensitive. We are eating too many frankenfoods. We're exposed to too many things in the environment, and our bodies just can't handle it. And it depends on what degree. This kiddo is 5 years old, and so that means, unfortunately, he's just more sensitive than the average individual. Sometimes it takes, you know, up to 30 years to build up all of your food sensitivities. But one of the important things to think about is substitutions, and we're going to talk about that. Also, finding a recipe bank or a website that can help you. In terms of this specific question on my podcast, I'm going to talk about the kidswithfoodallergies.org website. They have an amazing recipe index. And in fact, I popped it up for this particular kiddo in question, and I entered all of the allergies that he has, and I found 98 pages of recipes. So mom, there are a ton of things you can make for your kiddo out there that are not going to make him sick. So head over to kidswithfoodallergies.org and just start perusing through there. I have the link. So for everybody out there, you could go to my podcast notes and click on the link for kidswithfoodallergies.org and get right to the page with meal planning and recipes. Now, I'm not going to get into meal planning in this podcast, but I think it's really important to start becoming familiar with it. Meal Plans on Fleek is my favorite website for helping to demystify the meal prep and planning process. But the kidswithfoodallergies.org website also has info on meal prepping and planning. So check that out. And you know what? Yes, it's a website for kids, but the recipes are, I didn't find them specific to kids either. And I think that's something to think about here. I always cringe when parents say, I don't know what to feed my kid because now I have to feed them adult food. What? What were you feeding them? Kid food is junk food out there. The things that are boxed and bagged, I mean, they're Franken colors, they're Franken food with tons of chemicals. You should be feeding your kid whole foods. It's going to be so much better for their brain and their body in the long run. So I'm going to get off my soapbox on that. And let's talk about the first thing that's really important when you find out you have food allergies. It's called substitutions. In particular, milk being the first allergen that this kiddo has. Most of us now know about the alternatives to milk. The problem is that these nut milks, like say the ones you find in your grocery store in particular, and I'm talking like your average grocery store Safeway or whatnot, they're going to have things that have carrageenan or guar gum, which can also be a secondary sensitivity, especially in kiddos and in adults too. And so I'm recommending that folks look for the cleanest milk alternatives. Three Trees Nut Milk or Malk, M-A-L-K, it's almond milk, both of them. They are the cleanest out there in terms of no carrageenans or guar gums. Now, if you cannot tolerate a nut milk, then hemp or flax milk are also good options to rotate in. I personally, if someone has time, recommend making your own milks at home. In fact, there's a great resource, Food Babe, on her website. She has a lot of recipes in terms of making different types of nut and seed milks, but she also talks about what milk substitutions are great options out there. And I'll put that link in my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com. So you'll check that out. Now, hemp or flax milk might have gums or added carrageenan, just for a side note there. Now, this day and age, we also have a lot of alternatives to cheese, vegan cheeses that are out there. So if your kiddo loves cheese and you're trying to find an alternative, you can pretty much go to any store out there these days and find some sort of vegan cheese. The issue is that you've got to read the label, because there are vegan cheeses that still have casein in them, which is a milk protein, which seems kind of counterproductive, shouldn't be in something that is considered vegan, which leads me back to my statement on truth in labeling. So read, don't just take a label for face value. Like, you'll read it and it'll say things like gluten-free, it'll say dairy-free, it'll say low-fat. Yeah, okay. But you got to read the back. You got to read the actual ingredients in that food. And for this particular kiddo, he also has an allergy to apples. And so apple cider vinegar is used in a lot of dressings, but also in a lot of vegan products. So you got to read labels, like I said before. Now, Mikinel's brand of cultured vegan butter would be acceptable. They also have various cheeses, but their cheeses do have some apple cider vinegar in it, so you can't go that route with this kiddo. Now, Kite Hill is a brand that has spreadable cheese, but it also has guar gum in it, because you have to have something to keep that almond together to make that consistency. So that is somewhat the problem with the vegan cheeses. You have to kind of play around with the consistency. And with kiddos, it's a trial and error process. You've got to subject them to certain foods at least 14 times, I have read in research, before they determine whether they like it or not. So what is also a big issue right now with kiddos is that, I don't know if it's happening in the schools or preschools or what, but every single time, I know it's happening in the schools, but I don't know about preschools. They're given vegetables. They're also given ranch dressing. Ranch dressing has dairy in it. I highly recommend finding different dipping options that your kiddo will like. And in particular, for this podcast, I didn't prep for a ranch dressing that is dairy-free, but you can read some labels out there. Look for it out there. I'm sure there are some, but you got to read the labels, like I said before. I will probably repeat myself a million times about reading labels. That's your takeaway from this podcast. Read labels. But in terms of some of the spreadable cheeses, these could be good options for your kiddo to have a dip for the veggies. Or just teach them to eat veggies on their own. Why do we have to dress the veggies up? That's a whole nother soapbox. All right. Now, lava is also a really good option for yogurt for those of you who have a dairy allergy out there, but not this kiddo, because they use plantain flour in the ingredients. Lava brand is working to not have guar gum and carrageenan. They have no whatsoever preservatives in their products. So I'm finding them interesting. Once you've had yogurt, like straight up cow's yogurt, and then you try an alternative yogurt, I'm going to be honest with you out there, it does take a little bit of finesse to get used to it. What I recommend to any parent who is working to substitute out dairy and use any of these alternative yogurts out there for the kiddos is to have some fresh fruit, such as berries, things of that nature, and add it to the yogurt to give something else to that yogurt. I've also used a little bit of nuts or seeds, if the kiddo can tolerate that, to spice up that yogurt just a little bit. And adding honey or maple syrup, also good options there. Raw honey, 100% maple syrup, of course. All right, now, in anyone who has a potato allergy, most vegan shredded cheeses have potato starch in them. And what it's doing is keeping the cheese separated so that the shreds don't all kind of mush together. So something to keep in mind there, probably this particular kiddo should not have the shredded vegan cheeses. But some of the spreadables would be good, like Kite Hill, like I mentioned. And Mykonos cultured butter. That could be your butter alternative. Now, Mykonos cultured butter is made out of cashew. I find it absolutely delicious. It does taste different than butter. I'm not going to lie. But to be honest with you, I actually like it better than butter now, which is kind of crazy because if you listen to any of my previous podcasts, I talk about Kerrygold butter being like candy. And I like it. But now I think Mykonos might be my favorite butter. So there you have it. Now, that's cheese. And depending on where you live in the United States or different countries, there's going to be different brands. And I do not know all the brands, but like I said before, read your labels, look at vegan cheeses, vegan butters, and that'll help you to substitute dairy for your kiddo. Now, in terms of cooking and having that same experience of ooey gooey cheese, it's not the same. I'm not even going to sugarcoat it for you. They say that the cheese melts and spreads, but it's not the same. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about meltable cheeses out there for your kiddo with allergies, or yourself for that matter. And like I said as well, the cheese tastes a little bit different. Some of the spreadable cheeses taste pretty similar to a cow-based one. So there you have it. Now, one of the things to think about with the milk allergy as well is if it's milk and it's only cow allergy, you might be able to tolerate goat cheese. You might also be able to tolerate sheep cheese. So something to think about, maybe ask your doc out there if the test was specific just to cow's milk and casein. Now, sheep cheese and the goat's milk will have an amount of protein of casein, so probably off the list. But something to think about because some people have more reactions to cow versus goats or sheep. All right, eggs. That is not a big deal. I think a lot of people panic about eggs. Yes, it's a big deal for eating out. Yes, it's a big deal for eating pastry products. But really, in the scheme of things, how healthy are these pastry products that we're getting on the market? Like if you just go in a regular grocery store and you go into their bakery, read the label of what you're freaking eating. It's nasty. This just going to put it out there. Now, in terms of eggs, you can make eggs with flax, so ground flaxseed. You can make eggs with chia. And the Minimalist Baker is probably my best resource online for alternative eggs. And what you do when you make a flax egg, you're literally going to take 1 tablespoon of the ground flax and you're going to add about 2.5 to 3 tablespoons of water to it. And the reason it's 2.5 to 3 is because it depends on your environment. I used to live in the mountains in Colorado, super dry, and we had to add more liquid to things just to make it work. But for those of you that live more closer to sea level, a little bit more humid environments, such as Washington State or Chicago for that matter, you don't need as much liquid in this. And so play with it. Now, you put the water into the flax, you whip it up with a fork, and just kind of whip it like you would whip an egg, you know, just kind of spend a couple, you know, like maybe a minute or so doing that. Then just let it sit for about 5 minutes because you need it to gelatinize. And once it gets gelatinized, throw it into any recipe. So if you're making bread, you're making pancakes, you're making waffles, boom, you're done. The only thing that's different here is you didn't crack an egg to open it. It works comparatively very, very well. Now, what it doesn't work for is say you want scrambled eggs. Well, got to get a little creative here. In fact, I really like a recipe that Annie Fio, she's a vegan chef, she came up with. It's ground sunflower seeds with turmeric powder. So you don't have to make the ground sunflower seeds yellow, but it's kind of cool and might be of interest to you. And you can put them on the fry pan and saute them up with veggies. And, you know, if you want to throw some bacon in there, now you've got a scramble and it's egg free. Now, technically, you wouldn't in the vegan world put the bacon in there, but hey, if you're not vegan and you just can't have eggs, do it up like you want. In terms of the sunflower seeds, you want raw sunflower seeds, preferably sprouted. Then that way you have them a little bit pre-digested for you. But because you're going to grind them just a little bit in like a food processor or a high-speed blender, doesn't make as much of a difference because it's going to be pre-digested for you. But hey, anything helps when you're working on trying to protect that gut. And when I say sprouted or I say ground, I'm basically helping you to pre-digest the seed for you, because seeds and nuts can be a little bit tricky to digest. And if you already have a sensitive digestive system, you want to give it the most gentle foods possible. So ground sunflower seeds, you could also do walnuts in there. You could also do sesame seeds, things of that nature. But if your kiddo is allergic to tree nuts, then go back to the sunflower seed component there. All right. So the other thing for breakfast that I use, because a lot of people are hung up on using eggs, I use ground turkey or ground chicken and put veggies in it and scramble it up quite often. And it's kind of one of my go-tos for breakfast. I don't do eggs every day. I do eggs. But anyway, just something to think about. Now, in terms of cereal for breakfast, because I think a lot of parents with kiddos do rely on cereal quite a bit, and when you're told your kiddo can't have wheat, it can be a little bit daunting to find a cereal that works. Usually what I'm recommending to parents is getting your kiddos introduced to a paleo type of cereal. Granola in particular is common. Do I love granola? It is what it is. There's a company called Paleo Nola out there. They have a cinnamon blueberry granola that would work for this particular kiddo. Their other granolas have apples in them, or they have banana in them or something else. So Paleo Nola cinnamon blueberry would be the best for the kid we're talking about here. You can also make your own paleo cereal at home. And in fact, there's a plethora of options out there. The only thing with paleo cereal that you have to watch is, one, there's going to be a lot of nuts involved. So if there's a tree nut allergy, you got to swap for seeds. And there's going to be a lot of coconut involved. So once again, coconut can be another big allergen, so you got to watch that. Now, for those folks that are making gluten-free styles of breakfast cereal for kiddos, there's some options. The ones that you're going to find in the store are going to have a lot of corn in them, which if your kiddo tolerates corn, that's fine. Like I said, just read the labels, but rotate. Because if you keep giving someone who has food sensitivities the same food over and over and over again, they're going to start developing an allergy to that particular food. Now, I've mentioned before in my podcast, a lot of us have sensitivities to certain things because we've ate the same food over and over and over again. So rotation is important. And looking at the different cereals out there, you could even make your own porridge with millet and quinoa and rice and use that as a cereal. Of course, get all those sprouted or pressure cook them so that they're easier to digest for the tummy. Now, another option for breakfast is using squash or a sweet potato. Now, note that a sweet potato is not in the same family as a potato. Potatoes are in the nightshade family. Sweet potatoes are in the morning glory family. So it's a little different. Now, I have seen people react to sweet potatoes who react to potatoes. So keep that in mind. This is why food journal, absolutely critical for knowing what to do with your kiddo, what works, what doesn't. Now, another thing to think about is that we use a lot of sweet potatoes. And when I say sweet potato, I think a lot of people aren't sure the difference between a yam and a sweet potato. A yam is orange. A sweet potato is white on the inside, if you're talking your traditional sweet potato. Now, Japanese sweet potatoes are purple. Take that back. Purple sweet potatoes are purple. Japanese sweet potatoes are purple on the outside, like a purple, like orangish hue on the outside, but they are whitish yellow on the inside. These might be better options. You can find them at Whole Foods. You can find them at some of your specialty natural grocery stores, co-ops, things of that nature. So I would look for those because they're a little bit different than the straight sweet potato. And I'll make a sweet potato hash. I'll make that with some ground turkey and possibly peppers and onions. And that's what I will make for an alternative to breakfast for someone with food sensitivities, such as myself. squash. Squash is great. Now, the question with mom in this podcast was also squash and pesticides, zucchini in particular. Now, if you make it yourself, you don't have to worry about those things, meaning if you grow If you grow them yourself, you can get a wonderful squash and you know exactly what happened in terms of its growing process. You can make compost out of your own scraps and then you know what your dirt is, or you could buy organic dirt for it too. Now, that's going to a whole nother level, and I know parents of kiddos don't have a lot of time for that kind of stuff. So squash that's organic, I would be looking for that to help you out, to get you through. And there's so many different types of squash out there that I could go on for days about options, but butternut squash, delicata squash, acorn squash, there's summer squash, there's, I mean, pumpkin. These are all great alternatives to potato. And in fact, there's some great recipes out there where butternut squash is used instead of tomatoes for pasta recipes, for Mexican dishes, all of that stuff. I will put a link to those recipes on my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com. Now, if you're absolutely wanting to indulge in a cereal, there is a really good recipe on glutenfreepalette.com. It's gluten-free vegan chocolate chip crunch cereal. Because you know what? Sometimes you just got to be a kid. Or if you are a kid, you just want something that's slightly kid food, especially if you've been exposed to kid food. So there it is. Now, those chocolate chips in there are from a company called Enjoy Life. They're a non-dairy, no other fillers chocolate chips. So, hey, you know, you this day and age, having food sensitivities is not a bad gig, because there's a lot of companies that are making products for you. And there's also a lot of companies that are making products that are trying to trick you, as I would call it. So what's the motto of today's, or the moral of today's story? Read your labels. Okay. This kiddo also has an allergy to wheat. All I can say about wheat is you don't need it. There are so many pastas out there with quinoa. There are breads that are alternatives out there too. Granted, you have to read the labels. But why do we have to have wheat bread? Why do we even need bread? I mean, yeah, maybe you want a sandwich. Okay, put it in between two portobello mushrooms. That probably works for adults, but kiddos a little different. You could cut a sweet potato, toast it, and put whatever you want in between. I kind of like that. Now, in terms of grains, you've got millet, you've got buckwheat, you've got wild rice and brown rice, or any other color rice out there. There's like green rice, there's black sticky rice. All of that is a great alternative to having pastas or having tabbouleh or couscous, which are wheat-based types of grains. Now, you'll also want, though, and I was joking about bread. I mean, sometimes you just want bread. And in this case of the kiddo that was in question with this website, Olivia Super Free is the bread that would fit this kiddo's requirements. And you can find it online. You can find it in certain grocery stores in the freezer section. It's going to be kept in the freezer because it is not filled with preservatives, and so it will go bad quickly. Now, if you're not into getting a frozen bread that's going to cost you around $6 a loaf, and the loaf's not very big, I'm going to be honest, and it's a little different than regular bread, takes some getting used to, you can make your own. Namaste Perfect Flour Blend. Let's say that one fast five times. Namaste Perfect Flour Blend is what I use at home. And this has no potato starch in it. It's a rice flour-based flour. And it's good. It's a good flour that you can make breads out of. You can make a zucchini bread out of it. You can make certain items out of it. And waffles, bananas, where'd that come from? Waffles and pancakes. No bananas for this kiddo, which leads me to another point. Right now, a lot of the alternative flour blends have potato starch, but some folks are putting in plantain flour. Plantain and bananas are in the same family. So if you have a banana allergy, you do not want plantain. You don't want plantain flour. And plantain flour is kind of like the trendy flour for resistant starch, for low carb, etc. So just be on alert for that. It's not in all of them, but it is in some of the pancake mixes. Another big issue out there is that some pancake and waffle mixes put in eggs, dried eggs, in their items. So be careful in looking at the different brands that you have. But Namaste would be an acceptable flour for this particular kiddo. And it goes a long way to make all kinds of different things. I use it myself, and it works well for our family. Olivia Super Free, like I said, great bread for your family if you're dying to have some sort of bread. It's a great alternative, but it's expensive and it's small. Now, looking through pastas, Ancient Harvest has a quinoa and corn pasta that works out well. The Andean Dream is a rice and quinoa blend of pasta. And these guys, I will have links to these in my podcast notes, but these two brands would be the ones that I'd recommend for this particular kiddo if you're dying for some pasta. And if you're looking to make a pasta sauce, butternut squash as your base. Really cool. Works out well. Because this kiddo also has a cherry allergy, cherries are also the alternative to tomatoes in terms of sauces, like barbecue sauces, ketchup, things of that nature. But for those of you out there that have a tomato sensitivity or allergy and you want some type of mimicked tomato sauce, cherries or butternut squash can be your jam. So try that out. And there are lots of recipes out there. Autoimmune.org. No, that's not true. Autoimmune.com is a great one out there. It is a style of eating. Autoimmune Paleo in particular is a style of eating that eliminates the nightshades. And they have some great recipes on that website. So autoimmune.com. I'll put that in my podcast notes for you. So this kiddo also has an allergy to pineapple and, like I mentioned, cherries. You know what? Berries are a great option. I typically would recommend not doing so many strawberries, but blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, wash them really well. Make sure there's no mold or fuzzies on them because that can also irritate the gut. Pears are an alternative to apples. Kiddo also has an allergy to hazelnut. Really the biggest thing with hazelnut is Nutella and chocolates. So you're watching the sweets that this kiddo has and reading labels again, because hazelnut really is not going to show up in a lot other than Nutella and different chocolates out there, chocolate spreads out there, or chocolate dips. And because you're not supposed to be having dairy, chocolate shouldn't be as much of an issue for this kiddo. Now, if he does want some chocolate, there are brands out there such as the Enjoy Life brand to get those chocolate chips in. Bananas, already mentioned, plantains are in the same family. A good alternative to banana or plantain flour if you do like these types of things. Now, there's not banana flour. Plantain flour is what I meant. Yucca root. You can make all kinds of things out of cassava is the fancy term for yucca. Tortillas in particular. There are some good tortillas out there that have cassava. Actually, I am going to link a recipe that you can make with cassava flour on your own, because one of the best brands, Siete Tortillas, has apple cider vinegar, unfortunately, in their recipe. So mom, because your kiddo has the apple allergy, apple cider vinegar is off the list. But for the rest of you out there, Siete brand has great cassava chips and cassava tortillas, which, by the way, the tortilla chips do not have apple cider vinegar. So for this particular kiddo, he can have the tortilla chips. All right, so moving down the line here, peanut was an issue for this kiddo. I typically will substitute sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, and have them sprouted. You can sprout them at home. There's tons of websites that tell you how to do that, or you can buy them sprouted, or you can toast them at home if your kiddo doesn't like the raw flavor of them. And keep in mind that I like to blend it and make it into a butter of sorts to help it be even more pre-digested for the gut. In fact, the website Oshi Glows has a great sunflower butter recipe. She calls it luxurious sunflower butter, and it's quite good. So check that out. I will also have a link to that in my notes. Now, in addition to the food sensitivities, this kiddo also had some environmental allergies. And when I see dust mites. I'm thinking, okay, one, mom's got to work on dusting the house on a regular basis. And I say, mom, why would I put it all on you, mom? Mom, dad, anybody else in the family can help out. Kids' chores. But I wouldn't be giving that chore to your youngest kiddo with the dust allergies. Just doesn't work out well. And as a also added side note, I typically will have parents use a wet rag to, like a damp rag, not a wet soaked rag, to clean the house items that might be dusty, because all of the sprays like Pledge and things of that nature, there's so many chemicals in that that could also further worsen the issue going on with the kiddo in terms of environmentals. So dusting frequently, meaning at least once a week. In terms of mattresses and pillows, you want to get mattress covers and pillow covers. Guyam brand has a great option for you in all of that department, but cover the pillows and mattresses. Take the pillows and put them in the dryer at least once a week to every 2 weeks, and just kill off the dust mites at a medium temperature in the dryer. Same thing goes for the comforters, all of that stuff. You want to make sure that you are putting it in the dryer and getting things warmed up to temperature so you can kill off those dust mites. Throw rugs, also blankets, all that stuff. Same thing goes for your house. Don't wear your shoes in the house. Think about all the nasty things you're bringing into the house, especially because this kiddo has some allergies to trees and things of that nature. Same thing goes for pets. Kind of just quick wipe their feet or fur when they come inside from playing out. Also, if your kiddo's playing outside quite a bit, which they should be, have them change their clothes when they come inside from playing. Then that way we don't have all the pollens and things getting in the house. If you have hardwood floors, that's awesome. If you don't, you got to vacuum at least twice a week to kind of help clean things up there. Now, the other biggie that I always tell parents with kiddos that have food allergies is nettles and quercetin are a great supplement. It's super gentle. You can take that on a daily basis to help reduce the symptoms of allergies. And nettles and quercetin allergic, they're the two best items for allergies in terms of a supplement, and I will put a link to that in my podcast notes. So, what is the moral of today's story? Read labels, because there's a lot of options out there, and having a food sensitivity this day and age, chances are there's other folks who have created foods to help you work around it. Now, let's do a quick recap. First, you want to know how to sub the items that you're allergic to out, and I just went through that for this kiddo. Second, you want to find a trusty website that can help you with recipes, just to give you a little background on what you should do. Third, you want to make sure you have these brands you can trust, and so making a compiled list of that works out well, especially if someone else is going grocery shopping for you or you're visiting family. And fourth, make sure you've got a food journal so you can assess progress but also know what works, what doesn't, because there is some cross-reactivity between certain foods, and making sure that the products that you buy are processed in facilities where dairy and peanuts and other items are not processed on the same equipment. So that's another big issue to look at in terms of packaging and reading labels. So that's a lot of information. I will outline it a little bit better detail on my website at drjkrausnd.com in my podcast notes for episode 140, as this episode is. And that is my basic spiel for food sensitivities. I really appreciate you sending in this question, Mom, and I hope this helps. Please send me some feedback. We can do a recap if you have more questions. And for the rest of you out there, if you have questions you want me to answer on this podcast, I'm here for you. Send them in. I love to answer questions and help you out. If you've enjoyed this podcast, make sure you go over to iTunes and give us a 5-star ratings and share this information with your friends, because we're here to help everyone out there to get some answers in terms of their food issues, in addition to what other health issues you have. All right, you've survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing. Hey everybody, Dr. Janine Krause here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausend.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.